Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Pastor. You get to hear me again. Well, praise the Lord. I want to thank you, first of all, everybody here tonight, and those of you I'm meeting for the first time, I want to greet you, and I want to say my sincerest thank you to this church. You've been so very, very faithful in support every month, and I thank you, because I just thank the Lord for what he's doing in the Philippine Islands and for the privilege to be a part of it. And you are the ones who make it possible for me to serve there. So thank you so much. And on the table in the foyer, there's a few pictures of our Bible school, and some are some new churches that were just started this last year in the Philippines. And there's some prayer cards, little cards with my picture. Those we call prayer cards, as I'm sure most of you know. And I know most of you are praying. That's a reminder to pray for your missionary, because we depend on your prayers. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Imagine. God has ordained it that our prayers are powerful to the breaking down of spiritual strongholds and opening hearts to Jesus. So thank you for your prayers. Well, it's wonderful to be with you tonight. I want to give you a little report, first of all, an update of what God is doing in the Philippines. I have finished 20 years in the Philippines. Now, I guess I'm getting older. I guess. But God's been good. God's been good. Jesus said, I will build my church. Isn't that amazing? Pastor, it's Jesus building his church. But he has also told us we are workers together with him. And what an awesome privilege to be workers together with God. It's a privilege to have one of my relatives here, Shirtail relatives, Brother Milford and Mary Simmons from Baldwin. I was itinerating my first term, getting ready to go out to the Philippines, and I was in a Assembly of God church up in Minnesota, and the pastor, Brother Simmons, and I discovered that we're related. We have the same aunt and uncle. So that's quite amazing. But it's good to have you here. Jesus is building his church. In the Philippines, when I first went over there, and I know you've heard a lot about the Philippines, you're supporting a lot of us. Thank you. God's doing something great in the Philippines, let me tell you. And we are thankful to have Todd and Heidi there, and I think they're back there now. They came home, and then they went back. And thank God, because we need them. And of course, Dwight is a legend in the Philippines. He's been there forever, and everybody knows him. And he's doing a great work, of course. But God is using the Philippines. The Philippines is an island nation, in case it's new to any of you about the Philippines. It's an island nation in Southeast Asia. It's the only Christian nation of the 11 nations of Southeast Asia, considered nominal Christian nation. But thank God it's becoming more and more a true Christian nation. More and more people are coming into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just a Christian by name, but a Christian in heart. And we thank God for that privilege we have. We are an island nation of 7,000 islands. Yes, and we're very close to our nearest neighbors, Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation in the world of 15,000 islands. And a lot of people, we're also, the nations around us are either Muslim nations like Indonesia, Malaysia. We used to be able to send missionaries into Malaysia. The government won't allow missionaries anymore. There are Christians in Malaysia, though. There are many Christians. Now, they can get in trouble if they witness about Jesus to Muslims in that nation. But you know, God has his people. But God has blessed the Philippines, and I just want to give this overview. In that part of the world, the Philippines would probably be a Muslim nation as well, because they were already there way back in the 1300s. Muslims had arrived in the Philippines, and they were spreading throughout the islands, and then Magellan came and conquered the islands. The islands became a colony of Spain for 400 years, and they Christianized the Philippines. But thank God, through that, the Philippines is open to the gospel as no other nation in the region. We are blessed in the Philippines, and not just blessed to be blessed, but blessed to bless the nations. God is raising up a strong church in the Philippine Islands to take the gospel to our neighbors, To those who have never heard, we are close, as I said, to Indonesia. Filipinos can go in easier than I can into Indonesia. They can quickly learn the languages very close to the Filipino languages. A lot of the same words. It's interesting. I don't know. I'd like to study the history of those languages. We are also close to Indochina, which are predominantly Buddhist. Vietnam is only 500 miles from the Philippines. Vietnam is opening more and more to the gospel. Christians in Vietnam are still persecuted. It's still somewhat underground church. Many pastors have been in prison for preaching the gospel. They don't have the freedom. But the Assemblies of God in Vietnam right now is applying with the government for legal status. Pray for Vietnam. We pray for that legal status so that we can openly preach the gospel and have churches. But in the meantime, Jesus is still building his church. Besides Vietnam, connected to Vietnam is Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, and next Sunday I understand you're having a missionary, the Channings, who are going to Laos. Very exciting. Laos is one of the greatest needs in that part of the world for the gospel. And thank God they're getting into Laos. We've got Filipino missionaries trying to get in to Laos. Of the 11 nations around that area, the Philippines has the most freedom. And we don't, you know, we don't take it for granted. I say we as but with the Filipino church. But we know that God has a purpose. And God wants to use his church. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. His disciples were asking him, when will these things be? When will be the end? That was his answer. This gospel will be preached to all nations. The word nations, translated from the Greek, is ethne, meaning all people groups or family clans. It's God's will that none should perish. It's God's will. God is not slow, Peter wrote, concerning the second coming. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise. Jesus is coming back. But he is patient, not willing that any should perish. The Lord's patience means salvation. And God is looking down and he sees hungry hearts, but in nations, in places where they have not had a chance yet to hear of Jesus. And he's delaying the coming until people will have a chance. But thank God, we can have a part. Amen? We have a part in this end time in what God is doing. Back to the picture of Asia. Besides the Southeast Asian 11 nations, that the Philippines is the only Christian, the only one where we have real freedom to preach the gospel. But of all of the 48 nations of Asia, two are considered Christian now. The Philippines, and does anyone know what the other one might be? In Asia? South Korea. God has done a wonderful work in South Korea. Several years ago, we heard a lot about the Great Revival. Well, it's continuing. And now South Korean Christians are everywhere in the world. They're sending missionaries out all around the world. We've got many Korean missionaries in the Philippines. Thank God. And God is doing a new thing. The greatest growing missionary force in the world today is out of so-called third world developing nations. Nations where the church is still relatively new. Thank God for America, and before America for Europe, who sent out the pioneer missionaries around the world. We wouldn't be here today. You and I benefited from hearing the gospel, or our parents and grandparents did. But today, the others are joining force with us, that this gospel will be preached in every nation. And the Philippines is one nation. The Lord is raising up, discipling that nation for Christ so that they will be a light to Asia. Thank God. God is not surprised what's happening in the world in 2008. God knows. He is a God of history. It's his story. God knows. And in these days when more and more it's being difficult for Western missionaries to get into certain nations where the most of the unreached, the biggest block of unreached people, there are estimated 10,000 people groups, those nations Jesus talked about, people groups that are considered unreached. Meaning that there is no strong church in those nations yet. They still need missionaries to go in cross-culturally to bring the gospel, because they're not yet able to evangelize their own people. Those are who we are targeting and praying for, the nations of the world. But God is raising up workers out of every nation to join in the force to bring in the harvest in these end days. Thank God for what he's doing back to the Philippines. The Filipino brethren, the Christians in the Philippines, have a hunger for God. When I first went to the Philippines many years ago, I was just so amazed and so thrilled to see the hunger for God, for God's word. You know, for hundreds of years in the Philippines, the people were not allowed to have a Bible, to read the Bible. Way back when it was still under Spanish control, they didn't have the Bible in their own languages. And they were told that they couldn't read the Bible. One Spanish priest who had been there many years learned the Ilocano language of the Philippines. When he went back to Spain, he translated the scriptures into Ilocano. He went to Hong Kong and had it printed. And then he smuggled that Bible into the Philippines. That's the first time the Word of God came in the language of the people. And today, thank God, that Word of God is bearing fruit across the Philippines. Today, not only do they have the Bible in all of the major languages of the Philippines, the Philippine Bible Society has been hard at work for many years, Wycliffe Bible Translators, and now TAP, Translators Association of the Philippines, Filipino Bible Translators, joining in the work to finish the few more languages to do, because we have 100 languages in the Philippines. But the major ones, it's translated, it's being sold in bookstores across the Philippines. The Bible is there. Not only that, it's in the hands of the people, and the main powerful church of the Philippines is a Catholic country still, are encouraging the people to study the Word of God, to read the Bible. Thank God. Thank God. They are now told to read the Bible. I taught so many Bible studies. It was a thrill, but usually when you teach a Bible study in the Philippines, I taught in a shopping center to the employees of the store. As soon as the store closed, they shut the doors and all the employees came for Bible study. It was such a thrill. You know what? Only one person out of the 14 knew Jesus. But they came. They're hungry to know God. And you know, God's word is powerful. God's word bears fruit. God's word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And God still saves men and women, boys and girls, through the preaching of the word of God, through the preaching of the cross. I don't want to be sidetracked, but I want to tell you an exciting testimony I just heard. A few weeks ago, I met, first I'll tell you this. This last term, I've spent 4 terms of 4 years each in the Philippines. And I thank God for being able to work in that land where God is really raising up a church, teaching in the Bible schools, working with young people, and preaching in the churches. But this last term, the Lord enlarged my heart for all of Southeast Asia. We had 2 conferences in Thailand. When I was in Thailand, my heart was so burdened for Thailand because so many people in Thailand never yet heard the name of Jesus. And last time I was there, I prayed, God, are you sure you want me to be in the Philippines? The Philippines has churches. We have Bible schools. Thank God. We still have a lot of places to reach. The goal is to put a church in every barangay, in every neighborhood, that the people will be discipled for Christ. But Lord, what about Thailand? And I tell you, the Holy Spirit spoke so strong to my soul that stay in the Philippines and send Filipinos. Help the church in the Philippines. So that's my heart passion, that the church in the Philippines will become a missionary sending church. God is calling many of our young people. I work with young people a lot in Bible schools, and just the last 4 years, it's amazing. So many of them have a call of God on their heart to go out of the borders of the Philippines to be missionaries, to go to the hard places, to take the gospel. And so we thank God. A few weeks ago, while I was already here in the States, I got a call from my brother's church up in Cameron, and the pastor said there was a young man there from Burma. He knows my heart for Asia, and would I like to meet him? So I went there, and here was this Burmese pastor, young man. He came out of one of the tribal groups there in Asia. He got saved. He now has a Bible school on the border of Burma and Thailand. He's training others over there, Burmese young men and women, to go and reach the tribal groups. Praise God. A very exciting testimony he had. Well, a few weeks after I met him, I got an email from him and a testimony. And he told about something that happened recently in Burma. Well, you're supposed to call it, it has a new name, Myanmar or Myanmar. But you know the country I'm talking about, right? It's easier to say Burma. Myanmar. Anyway, a few weeks ago, it is a Buddhist nation. It also has a very authoritarian government that even the Buddhist priests have been on the streets protesting for more freedom. But a few months ago, the top of the Buddhist religion in that country found a Bible, a Christian Bible in the Burmese language. 200 years ago, there was a missionary that went to that nation named Adoniram Judson. He translated the scriptures into Burmese. And that Bible was just discovered by this top Buddhist cleric. And when he was reading it, he said, oh, the word for the supreme being in the Christian Bible is higher than our supreme being in our Buddha Bible. He said, that can't be. We are a Buddhist nation. And so he hired the top scholar among the Buddhists in Burma, to go through the Christian Bible that Judson translated and to change the words for God or the supreme being and make it a lower word. So that scholar started studying the word of God and going through it, and you know already, God's word is powerful. That man was convicted of his sins. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. That Buddhist scholar, isn't that cool? Isn't that wonderful? Praise God, what a testimony. God's word is still changing lives today, friends. He became a Christian. Of course, he was not accepted any longer. He was expelled from the country. He cannot go back. But he's going around the world preaching now. But thank God. And I just wish that, I hope that Adoniram Judson up in heaven can see all his hard work, what's happening. I don't know. But whatever we do for God, it lasts. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit that will remain. Amen. Friends, whatever we do for Jesus Christ, whenever we share his word, we don't know all the fruit that will come of it, but God's word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent. And God's word is bearing fruit today. In the Philippines, God's word is bearing fruit. The churches are growing. In the Assemblies of God, just this last year, 400 new churches. Thank God. Thank God the vision that our Filipino Christians have to evangelize their own nation. They work so hard. They have such a zeal for Christ, for God, that the people in their nation will know Jesus. Every summer they have what we call SOS. SOS, that's easy to remember, right? Summer of Service. They have summer too, like we do, but their summer is right now. Not spring, they don't have spring. They only have summer. Summer and summer. Actually, rainy season and summer. It happens to be summer right now, March, April, and May. The temperature change is about 10 degrees. Yeah, it's always about 87, and now it's about 97. But it's more humid than ever. It's summer. Anyway, in the summer, they have this summer of service. They target areas to start a church where there is no church yet. And what's left are the really hard areas. Hard spiritually because of hindrances, spiritual hindrances, opposition, or hard to get to places. The Philippine Islands are all mountainous, and many places there are no roads. You have to hike for days to get in there in the jungles. But they are targeting those areas, and young people volunteer their summer, or whoever, but it ends up being a lot of young people, college and Bible school students, They spend the whole summer going into those targeted places and sharing Jesus to every home. They go to every home and share Jesus. As soon as somebody will pray with them, they begin discipling them. In the Lord, they have children's meetings, things for youth going on, film showings, all kinds of things, just to get the gospel saturated in that area. And last summer, we had 35 new churches started during the summer. So we thank God that He's given them a zeal to reach their own nation. But even to take it one step further now, God is calling the Philippine church to reach out beyond their nation. He's growing them strong that they can reach beyond their nation to other nations, especially their neighbors. Indonesia, Vietnam, very close. Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, going up into China. Some are called going into the Middle East. One of the students that I had a few years ago she was a single mother, and she had a lot of strikes against her. She had a hard time in Bible school. She was providing for a daughter. She had become a Christian, and she was raising this daughter, but she had a call of God, which was so genuine. Every Thursday, we had prayer for missions. When that girl prayed, so anointed, she had such a burden for the Muslims. She finished Bible school. She went to the special Islamic training that we have in the mountain city of Baguio. Right now, she's in the United Arab Republics. God has sent her. It's all been a miracle. I've watched her, and I've just been amazed to see God working in her life. No money to go on to school, but she went by faith, and little by little, God provided for her. And God sent her out now. So that's what I'm excited about. The Lord is calling and sending Filipinos out. Tonight I want to share with you a couple things from Scripture. I already shared the verse that Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Is it possible? Yes. Jesus said this gospel will be preached to all nations. And if we look in Revelation at the very end of the story, what does it say? It says around the throne there will be people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation around the throne worshiping the King, worshiping God. Friends, God is not willing that any should perish. God's heart is for all people. From Genesis to Revelation, this is a book of missions. God has a missionary heart. God's love is never inclusive. It's for everybody. We have a great task. The purpose of God is missions, the priority. So the purpose of the church is missions. The supreme task of the church is missions. Oswald J. Smith was a great pastor in Toronto, Canada. They called him Mr. Missions. If you ever see any of his books, I found an old book that of his written in the, early 40s maybe, or late 30s. I found it in our library in the Philippines, and I stole it. I took it and I used it all year. It was so thrilling. I mean, he had missions in his blood. And before I came to the States, I got permission to keep it because I wanted to get it printed. In the meantime, I shared it with another missionary in the Philippines who has the same great heart that he wants the people to get a mission vision. And I just found out that he got permission. Our ICI office in Manila is going to print that book, and we're going to give it to all the Filipino pastors. Praise God. A couple weeks ago, I gave it to my father to read. He said, oh, you should give this to the pastor to read. So I want to give it to all the pastors because he's Mr. Missions. He said the supreme task of the church is missions. If that's the supreme task, what's supreme? That's where we should put the most of our energy in our prayers. He also, and another thing that, he didn't say it, but he quoted an early missionary, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. You know, in America today, I believe this is what we need. We need to remember missions. We need to remember what is our purpose, because not you here, but our culture is so centered on ourselves. We're just so centered on ourselves these days. But you know what? We have a great purpose. Young people, we have a great purpose. Amen? To invest our life in something eternal. To invest our life for Jesus Christ, winning souls. And it's true, when we pray sacrificially for those who never had a chance to hear, When we give our time and our, even our of ourselves in every way, God will enlarge our vision at home too. If we see the mission field, God's going to help us see the people around us who need Jesus. He does that. He blesses us. Well, Jesus talked about the harvest a lot. I'd like you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 20. A story Jesus told about the harvest. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus said, open your eyes and look on the fields, they are white unto harvest. Jesus is still saying that to you and I today. And we need to pray, church, Lord, help my eyes to see the harvest. Help me to see people like you see them, Lord. God, help me to have 20/20 spiritual vision. Only the Holy Spirit can help us to do that. We get busy. I get so busy. Even on the mission field, we can be so busy doing what we're doing that we bypass people, you know? And maybe that's somebody that God sent our way. It's not only here, it's the same for missionaries. But may God give us open eyes to see the harvest. Amen? And then he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out workers. Let's read this story in Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. The 11th hour, they only had 1 hour to work. But he said, go. Friends, we may be at God's 11th hour in the world today. I don't know. We don't know when Jesus is coming. But, you know, Jesus said we can see the signs of the times, right? No one knows the day nor the hour. But the harvest, it's still day. Work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus is coming back. The early church were expecting his return. Are we? I hope we're living. They were living on the edge of their seat. They were expecting. The words of the angels to the early apostles were still ringing in their ears. You remember when Jesus ascended into heaven after he resurrected from the dead? And suddenly he was taken up from them into the clouds? And the men were standing there. Well, we would be too, right? Looking into heaven. And the angel said, men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking into the gazing into the heavens? Well, they just saw Jesus go up into the clouds. But the angel said, this same Jesus that was taken up from you into the heavens shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. He's going to split the clouds and come back one of these days. That is our blessed hope, church. The Bible says we are to encourage one another with these words. I think today we need to revive ourselves with those words. When I was a teenager, we sang about his coming all the time. Seemed like every Sunday night. He's coming soon, changed in the twinkling of an eye, all of those songs. Jesus is still coming soon. Sooner now. He's coming. He's coming. The early church was expecting his coming. Would you turn over in Peter, to Peter chapter 3? Second Peter chapter 3. Peter wrote about the end days. Now, Peter wrote this not that long after, about AD 65. But he said, in the last days, scoffers are going to come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, I think we're in the last days more than Peter was. We're in the last days. People are scoffing at the coming of the Lord. But he's still coming. His word hasn't changed. He said, okay, verse 3. First of all, you must understand in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the promise, this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. God sent a flood one time already. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Just as the flood came, God's judgment will come. The day of the Lord will come. He said, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow keeping his promise, as some count slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. I'll stop right there for now. Jesus is coming back. When the disciples asked when that will be, Jesus said, first, this gospel of the kingdom will first be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. I'm not saying Jesus can't come tonight. We don't know the time. I believe he's coming soon. But in the meantime, we need to work all we can to get the message out to those who haven't heard yet. Amen? One more scripture passage I'd like to read to you is in Romans chapter 10. We have the promise in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. That Buddhist scholar monk in Burma called on the name of the Lord. Amen? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? That's missions. God's heart is that everyone will hear this gospel and have a chance to believe. It says further down, not everyone will believe, but faith comes by hearing the word. Verse 17, hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. God's heart is that everyone will have a chance to believe. Everyone will hear, but they can't hear unless someone goes to them. You know, if you've ever met people who never ever heard the name of Jesus, it breaks your heart. There are still thousands of millions of people, really. But thank God, we can do something. Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers. All of us can do that, amen? All of us can pray. Prayer is so powerful. God works through the prayer of his people. Amen. God needs people. The church's priority is missions, but the people of God must participate to get it done. It's not going to automatically happen. Thank God he uses people. I just want to share something. We won't look up all of these scriptures, but God has a lot of patterns in the Bible. One of the patterns is a river. In Genesis, in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, there was a river. Remember? A river flowed out. The Lord planted a garden in Eden. He put a man there, a river flowed out of Eden in four directions, picturing the river of life. If you look in the very back of the Bible, last of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The river of life. Praise God. We're in the in-between time right now. Where's that river? In the Old Testament, there's a picture in Ezekiel, the river flowing out of the temple, remember? Wherever the river flowed, that beautiful scripture that Ezekiel prophesied, wherever that river flowed, it brought life. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't go to the temple anymore and offer animal sacrifices. We are the temple. The Holy Spirit lives in his church, amen? Where is that river? Jesus told us where it was. Jesus said, if anyone man believes in me, out of his belly or out of his innermost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. That river of God is still flowing, friends. It's flowing through his church. It's flowing through us. How will the lost people around us know? The river of God is available, but it needs a channel to flow. God needs us. When Jesus came the first time, the angel announced his coming. Beautiful story of the shepherds on the hills, and the angel said, "Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be what? To all people. A Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord." When Jesus comes back again, the angel's going to announce his coming. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel and the trump of God." The Lord will descend and we will meet him in the air. But right now, we're the ones to proclaim it. We're the ones. Thank God. Thank God he's called us. Amen? All of us are called. I was always so encouraged by that scripture. I already quoted it. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I've chosen you and ordained you that you would go and bring forth fruit, fruit that will remain." All of us here tonight are here because the Holy Spirit drew us. The Bible says that no man can come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws us. Thank God. It's nothing we've done, amen? It's all a gift of God. God's chosen us. The same time he said he's ordained us to bring forth fruit for his kingdom. God wants us all to be soul winners. Amen. The mission field, I used to say this when I was young. Well, I teach it to, when I'm teaching my mission class. The mission field does not mean that you have to go far away. Now, we need to be concerned for those who never had a chance to hear. We need to pray for them. We need to send missionaries. But to be a missionary doesn't mean going across the sea. It means seeing the cross. You know, once we know Jesus, we just can't help but want others to know him. Amen. Thank you for praying for us in the Philippines. We're praying that God's going to ignite that church to be a light to Asia, to win many souls in Asia. There are so many unreached people. I tell you what, in Cambodia and in Thailand, they're Buddhist nations. You can just feel the heaviness. I could feel it when I was there. It's an oppression. The devil thinks he owns those lands, those people, but he doesn't. God owns them. And how, we need to pray. The Lord of the harvest to send armies of workers into those lands to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I got back to Manila from Thailand, as soon as I came out of the airport, I felt a relief. You know, you could sense spiritually. And you know what? We came out onto the main street, EDSA, it's called in Manila. There's a big bulletin board, huge big signboard along the main highway. You know what it says? And it's flashing. It says, "Jesus saves." Praise God. I praise God that he has ordained that the Philippines is free to preach the gospel. So we are working hard. Oh, I need to tell you, very exciting thing that just happened. For many years, God's put this on my heart. God's calling Filipinos, and he's put on my heart to help encourage them to go. But the truth is that the leadership in the churches were not ready to send them. Because it's a poor country, and they're struggling, and they don't see how they can send missionaries because they can hardly feed their families. They can hardly make it. But God's calling them to be missionary church. And it's starting to change. It's really starting to change. Our Bible college in Cebu just now got a brand new president. We have needed a president to lead the school for many years. We haven't had leadership there. But God answered our prayer. Just this month, Brother Fred Kapapas, Filipino, and his wife came to the school to lead the school. It's very special because Brother Fred has a great missionary heart. He's a Filipino who went out as a pioneer missionary to Cambodia. God gave him a wonderful Filipino wife, Irene. Together they spent 15 years in Cambodia. He directed the Bible Assemblies of God Bible School in Cambodia, the only one there. He directed that for many years. And he went as a real pioneer. He didn't get sent. He got approved by the church, but he didn't get hardly any support. But he stayed faithful, and God used him. And now God brought him back for this time in the Philippines to share that vision. He is now our president at IBC, just as of this month. And he just sent me an email this week. In June, when school starts, remember it's summer now, when classes start in June, they're starting a new program called Intercultural Studies, training Filipino missionaries. So God's answering prayer. God is doing some new things in the Philippines and through the Philippines to touch the nations. So we thank God for what he's doing and how wonderful to be part of God's work. Amen? Thank you all. Your part is so very vital. Thank you for your support, your prayers. I plan to go back by October, the Lord willing, to teach and work with Emmanuel Bible College to teach. I actually teach in many other Bible schools and help set up mission conventions and encourage the Filipinos in their missionary work. That's where my heart is. God bless you all. Thank you.